Lakshmidhar Kaviji has been explaining why Satchit Ananda is not my guna, but it is my nature. Because in any ways, when they become guna, they either become inert, or they either become non-existent, or either they become non-blissful. So therefore, in making it a guna, I lose all the nature. So I have to accept it as a nature only. But then the question of the word Satchit Ananda comes. As well, if you say Satchit Ananda, how can you combine three words for one? Isn't that itself contradictory, that you have Satchit Ananda, three words explaining one thing? So then we said, no, that is not a problem. The three words, although they are not a synonym, meaning Sat is not synonym to Chit, and Chit is not synonym to Ananda, even then, they are still indicating Eka Vastu. Ekam Vastu Kadacha. Why? Because the three words, first of all, have a different inherent meaning. Their word meaning could be different, but their inherent meaning is different. If the word meaning of Sat, we say it is existence. But in Shastra, another meaning for Sat is space. If somebody were to understand Sat to mean space, that is not what the scripture is saying when they combine the word Satchit Ananda. In a context where Sat becomes space, you can use the word Sat. But the moment you attach it to Chit and Ananda, Sat has to mean Brahman alone. Likewise, Chit can mean the thought modification. We say Chit. So Chit can mean thought modification, but in context of Satchidananda, Chit has to mean consciousness. And likewise, Ananda can mean for worldly joy. But in the context of Satchidananda, Ananda has to mean Atma Sukha. So, these three words, in literal sense, have different meaning, but in their deeper sense, their indicated meaning means Brahma. And these three words are not different from each other also. How? And if you remove consciousness from existence, existence becomes inert. Though it exists, but it no longer has the capability to become recognized. Loses the capability of cognition because it has no chip. And likewise, if you remove existence, sat, from the chit, then can you say chit exists? Because there's no sat. So chit cannot exist without sat. And like that, we do the analysis for the other two. So we find each time one becomes inert, another becomes not desirable, ananda. In this way, if we analyze, we come to know that they all three mean one. But then why are we using three words? So Swami Prakashadiji says, it doesn't matter. You use Satchidananda or you use Nitya, Shuddha, Buddha, Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta. Even if you use that word, they still mean Brahman only. Because when these three words are used, you have to drop the differences. Bhidam, the distinctions, Vijahat, you have to give them up. And these are distinctions of the Jagatim Bhidam, the worldly distinctions. The distinctions created because of the Upadhi, those distinctions we give up. And Akhanda Evas, and I remain the one nature. So, through these words, I am taken towards the pure self by dropping the literal meaning, by dropping the word meaning. Now, that much we have seen, 25. Now, Bhagavan talks about, not Bhagavan, but the great Mahatma is like Bhagavan. Lakshmidhar Kavi is now going to talk about the topic of Jivan Mukti and Videha. So having known that Brahman is Satchidananda, what one must do? And having done that, what comes of the result? So that is what is now being explained. So the Aikya, the oneness, is explained here. And sorry, in this shloka, the oneness is explained. In the next shloka is the Jivan Mukti and Videha Mukti topic. Okay, let us chant 26. Parokshata. Parokshata Paricheda. Shabalya apoha nirmalam. Tadasi tigira laksham. Ahame karasam mahaha. Parokshata parichedam. Shabalya apoha nirmalam. Tadasi tigira laksham. Ahame karasam mahaha. So, very simple thought here. Parokshata. Parokshata means remoteness, distance. Paroksha. Not my knowledge, but knowledge of somebody else. Right? So, if somebody tells you about a shopping sale, so that knowledge when you heard is a paroksha. Then when you go and search about the shopping sale, that becomes your pratyaksha. And aparoksha is when you become the shopping star, but that never can happen. So in Dvaita, that can never happen. Aparoksha is like in dream, we realize I am the one dream. That can be aparoksha. While dreaming, you know you are dreaming. You know that you are the dream body. That is aparoksha jnana. And aparoksha in waking is when I am no longer the mind. when I know I am no longer the mind. So parokshata, remoteness, distance. Paricheda, limitedness, conditioning. Shabalya, these differences. So the differences of remoteness, limitedness. Apoha is to remove, to reject, to discard, and become nirmala. You become pure. So by giving up the differences, you become pure. This tat asi iti gira lakshan. Gira, the words. Lakshan is the indication. By the word tat asi. Tattvamasi. So this Tattvamasi Mahavakya from the Upanishad, Gira Upanishad, is indicating this oneness. What is the oneness? Aham Ekarasam. I, the Atma of one nature, is Maha, is the Supreme. So, what we have learned thus far, that Sat is my nature, Chit is my nature, and Ananda is my nature, and these three indicate Brahman alone, three, but still indicate one. How do I reach there? What can I do to reach there? So, I have to take support of the scriptural thoughts to take me there. Scripture is implanting within us a knowledge on how to break our ignorance. Just by hearing the word Tattvamasi, nothing will happen. Because we will not know the context of what is tat, and we will also not know the context of what is tvam. We may know the meaning of what is tat. Tat means that, and tvam means you or I. So I will know the meaning, what is tattvamasi, that thou art. But there will always remain a confusion. How can that be me? Because the clarity was not given to me of what is the real meaning of tat and what is the real meaning of tum. That is what this shloka is trying to explain. So this is the literal meaning. Now let's take a look at the deeper meaning of this. Parokshata, when we say, what is the paroksha? What is it that is remote from us, distant from us? That is Ishvara. The creator of this universe, Ishvara, I can never see. With my eyes, I can never see. Even Arjuna, to see the divine nature, not the Paramatma Swarupa, just to see the divine nature of Bhagwan, Bhagwan had to give him the vision. Divya Chakshu, Bhagwan gave. For Sanjaya to see, Vedavyasa gave him the divine Chakshu. So, to see the form just of Ishvara, a divine vision is needed. So how do we know the nature of Ishvara? And we're talking about nature, not the form. What Arjuna saw was the form. What Sanjaya also saw was the form. The nature, therefore, is described to us by the scriptures only. the scriptures and the rishis who saw this form in their experience as one with the sun. So that Ishvara is distant from it. So that's why it is remote, paroksha. So Ishvara, when it comes, it is always going to be paroksha. And jiva, jiva means I. So jiva is paricheda, is always seen as limited. And these two differences, shabalyam, these two differences will always stay when there is the jiva and ishvara. And by remoteness and limitation, all the differences that are there in jiva and ishvara have to be understood. Like we say Ishvara is sarvajna and jiva is alpajna. So that is, has to be understood. Then Ishvara is mayapati, jiva is mayadas. Then Ishvara is sarvashakti and I am alpashakti. Ishvara is ananda and jiva is dukkhananda. So in this way, many differences can be seen between Ishvara and jiva. All of those differences. So not simply remoteness and limitations. They are only what we say is an upalakshana for all the differences found between jiva and ishvara. They all have to be shabalya. Sorry, they all have to be apoha. We have to reject them. We have to discard them. To come to become pure. So, in order for us to understand the purity of it, we have to reject that. So, what are we rejecting? The conditioning, the sarvashakti, the parokshata, sarvajna, ananda swarupa. All of these are upadhi on Ishvara. The totality is also an upadhi. An individuality also is an upadhi. So I have to get rid of these upadhis. How do I get rid of these upadhis? Well, that was mentioned previously. Right? What was mentioned in previous shloka? Vijahat, vijahat chagati vidha. So that vijahat, jahat, ajahat paksha. So jahat, retain, and ajahat, give up. No, sorry, jahat means to give up, ajahat means to retain. So by this process of retaining the nature and giving up the upadhi, I stay with the thought. Where did I get this idea? Who gave me this idea? So this idea is coming from Tattvamasi Mahavakya. So many Mahavakyas are there. Tattvamasi is merely a representation of all the Mahavakyas that speak about this. And all the Mahavakyas are doing this idea of jahat ajahat laksha. They are taking this idea of retaining and dropping, retaining and dropping. And then when I do that, the Mahaha, which is the essential nature of the Supreme, is aham, which is the essential nature of atma. Ekarasam is of one essence, is of one quality. This becomes my understanding or experience. Okay. This is the meaning. Now, Swayam Prakashyati ji adds a little beauty to this. Okay, so, Swayam Prakashyati ji says, what is the logic behind this? Just because you're telling me that the Mahavakya says it this way, so should I just take it like that and that's it? Or is there more that I can analyze? So he says, there is a lot more to analyze. And he gives one idea. Here also, let's do the same process we did where we analyzed chit and consciousness. Sat and chit. If one were not there with the other, what would happen? And like that, chit and ananda. One were not there, what would happen? Here also, let's take the same process. Atma separated from Brahman. If Atma was separated from Brahman, Brahman would lose its Brahmatva. And if Atma were not there in Brahman, then if Brahman were not there in Atma, then Atma would lose its Atmatva. If Atma were not there in Brahman, Brahman would lose its Brahmatva. If Brahman were not there in Atma, Atma would lose its Atma. In a little sense, I'm talking about, but this is how he analyzes. So how? Well, first we have to understand what is the definition of Atma and what is the definition of Brahman. Then we can understand what he is trying to connect. So Atma means what? The word Atma means that which is Sarvantara. That which is the self of all, that which stays in everything as a self, that is Atma. So in humans, in Jiva, where there is life, what is Atma? Many times you will hear Pujya Gurudev say, it is that which indicates the life. There's a life force, that energy of life. That is what is Atma. Now, how do I know that this person is a Jiva? It's because of this Atma, the person is kicking and moving about. Obviously, there's mind also, but we're not going to go into the technical part just for this purpose. Likewise, Atma is there in rock, mountains, inert object also. But in that, the life force is not seen. Only the existence portion is seen. Consciousness portion and the ananda portion are hidden. Even so. So, that which indicates life, this is Atma. So that which is a self of all, this is the definition of Atma. Sarva antara, within all. And Brahman, what is the definition of Brahman? Brahman is Brahatvad Brahma, or Mahatva. So that which is big, that which is vast. So what does vast and big means? Meaning that which is everywhere. There is nothing where Brahman is not. So bigness, vastness is Brahman. Now if we take that meaning and apply that, if Atma were not there in Brahman, if Atma were not there in Brahman, that would mean that the very self is not there in Brahman. The very core, that which we identify as self, the very nature would not be there. So that would make Brahman what? Inert. And likewise, if we take the other way around, Brahman is vast, but its vastness is not reaching Atma. So how can you say it is vast? That means Brahman, Atma has to be separate from Brahman. Because Brahman is vast, but it cannot reach Atma. So it has to be limited. And where there is limitation, we say it is subject to destruction. It is jada. So by just positing, just creating a scenario where we separate the two, we find there's a great danger of losing a meaning. Therefore, it makes sense that both are one. And obviously, Swayam Prakashetiji is not making this up on his own, so he quotes Sarvajnyatvam. So he quotes three things, but I'll just read one of them. Advaite arthe pratyagarthosti. So advaite means in Brahman. Advaita is here referring to in Brahman, arthe, in the meaning of Brahman. Pratyagartha asti. Pratyag is Atma. Pratyagatma we say. So that's the idea. So Atma is there. In Brahman, Atma is there. Tadvad pratyaktve cha advayasya api bhava. Like that, in pratyaktve, in Atma also, advayasya api bhava. So advaya, Brahman. Brahman is also present. Yadyapi evam na. Yadyapi evam nati reka avakasha. Purne tatve tattvam arthaha upapatte. So na atireka avakasha. Atireka means difference. Avakasha means scope. So na atireka avakasha. There is no scope of a difference between Brahman and Atman. Where? In Purnetattva. Purnetattva, the supreme reality. Tat tvam artha upapatte. So then tat and tvam have to mean one only. So this is how he's saying that Atma and Brahman, both have to be one. They cannot be two separate. And this is, one has to practice this to understand the bhava of tattvamasi. Merely doing a japa of tattvamasi becomes an upasana. So you understand the difference between upasana and jnana. When we do an upasana, we are separate from the upasya. That is one thing. So upasya is that which we are worshipping. That which we are worshipping, we become separate from that. And that separation will always remain because you're doing it as an upasana. And the second thing is that when you do any upasana, you do it with the intention of some phala, that it will give you either a phala here in this earth or a phala hereafter. So if I think that the Mahavakya is the only thing that I have to keep chanting, and I will come to know this Mahavakya as my nature, never will happen. Shata Janma Koti. So Shata Janma means 100 birth, Koti, crore. 100 crore births also will pass by, but we will never realize. So upasana will not do, it has to be jnana. So what does that mean? Is when I hear the word Tat and Tvam, I have to see myself as the Brahman. And it is very hard to do because we have conditioned our mind in such a way. Our mind's conditioning has to be broken at that point. Anytime we see an object, we easily condition first by the name and the form. That flower looks very good, very beautiful. So nice colors. So by saying that, my first attention goes to is the nama rupa. So in order that I stop recognizing nama rupa, I have to start the deconditioning process. And that deconditioning process is where I remind myself, although I am seeing nama rupa is false. Nama rupa is the shabalya, is the difference. And I have to drop the difference and see the sat, chit, ananda. And this Satchit Ananda is Bruhatva, is the Brahman, which resides in all pervasive. So I use this as a means of destroying the differences I see. Likewise, the mind also creates a difference. What does the mind create a difference of? The biggest difference is I am Jiva. I have to think, therefore I exist. We know that very famous thing, right? Some American author or somebody who had said, I think, therefore I am. But then Vedanta says, I am, therefore I think. So my process has to change by saying that mind's ability to think comes because of me. And this, when it becomes my jnana, it becomes my experience, then the Tattvamasi Mahavakya has taken its effect. has done its job of destroying the ignorance. And till then, if I continue to do this practice of dropping and retaining, if I do it during meditation, it becomes nididhyasana or savikalpasana. If I do it as an intellectual activity, then it becomes my manana. We've also talked about this idea of sakshi. When I think about it from the perspective that I am the witnesser, and I am the one witnessing the thoughts, witnessing the mind, then that is in the realm of, again, duality. There is something that is witnessing and something that is the witnesser. So this is a good step that takes me higher in my meditation, because it allows me to drop the differences. All the differences of limitations have been dropped the moment I say I'm the witnesser. The moment I say I'm a witnesser, 99% of differences have been dropped. One difference remains, which is I'm a witnesser. That drops when I now start seeing the witnesser, the sakshi, as the Atma alone. There is no conditioning at all on the sakshi. When I start seeing it that way, then that is the way to proceed forward in my nididhyasana. So this much is the meaning of the shloka 26. Any questions? Yes, Hemaji.
Maybe I heard it wrong. Could you repeat the witnesser, or is witnessing, are they two different things? Isn't the witnesser witnessing?
Yes. So, okay. I may have said it incorrectly, but witnesser and the witnessing is the process, is the kriya, is the action.
Yeah.
So when there is a witnesser, witnessing will happen. The witnessed, which is the mind, intellect, all of that. So when the witnesser is separated from the witnessed, then the 99% of all the limitations have been dropped. Only one limitation remains. I'm still the witnesser. And that gets dropped very easily. It's just flipping the attention to the self. It's like this whole time that picture was there in front of us, we've been distracted by all the colors and everything. The moment we zoomed out and focused, we realize that there is a picture. But that was still colored by this thought, I am the one seeing the picture. And that whole idea goes away the moment you recognize, I am the picture. Meaning, I am the one standing outside of the mirror. My reality is the one outside of the mirror. The whole time I was seeing the image in the mirror, thinking that that image is the reality. And that image was distorted because my focus was on the mirror, which was distorted. So I separated first from the distortion to keep my focus on the big picture. And then I distant even myself from that to recognize I am the one outside of the image. In this way, you take that process.
Is that witnesserhood to be practiced in Nididhyasana, or is it like...
Yes, that can be practiced in Nididhyasana also. That when I'm sitting for meditation, I remind myself that I am only this Atma and I am seeing the thoughts of the mind. I am not the thoughts of the mind. In the practice of meditation, the best thing that we can do is not to force the mind to do something. If we tell the mind, you should remain quiet, mind will not remain quiet. But if we say, I am watching this thought movement of the mind, all of a sudden, I became separated from that thought movement and I'm no longer bothered by that movement. So the movement, automatically what happens is it goes out of our vision altogether. It dies down, it becomes nullified. And all of a sudden, that thought movement also stops. But still, there is one feeling that I am the one who is doing all of this, that ego feeling. And that gets dropped when this bhavana becomes stronger. That I am the Atma.
Yes. The same as Brahma Tattva Mashi Bhavatmani.
Yes. Correct. Viveka Chudam. Any other thoughts?
This last topic was explained in Tattvabodhattu, when the differences eliminated, it's both are equal.
Okay, so there's about 10 minutes left. I will just cover the meaning. 27 and 28 are very straightforward. There's not much in it. So let us cover it and whatever we can. Then next week we'll see further. Okay, so now in order to conclude the topic of Advaita Makaranda, this next shloka is. So, Upasamharati, that is the meaning. Upasamharati, to conclude. How is Lakshmidhar Kavi concluding? So, he's saying that by practicing this for long duration, one attains Jivanmukti. And the cessation of that is videhamukti. So these two concepts is now explained. Upashanta jagat jivam. Shishyacharyeshwara brahmam. Swatasiddhamanadyantam paripurnamaham mahaham. Upashanta jagajiva shishyacharyeshwara brahmam swatasiddhamanadhyantam paripurnamaham mahaham. Upashantaha. Upashantaha. Shanti means peace. Upashanti means absolute peace. Meaning in the state of Jivan Mukti. Jivan Mukti Avasthayam. So in that state, everything freezes. Doesn't mean that everything freezes, means literally the whole world is frozen. Like how when the Superman just stops or he moves very fast, the whole world seems to be frozen. Not like that. Although that would be so cool if we can do that upon Jivan Mukti. The whole world we can stop. So Upashanti is the cessation of the mind. That is what has become Shant. That is what has created this peace. Because mind is no longer agitated. Mind can go through agitation, but I don't feel the agitation. Because I know that agitation cannot affect my nature. So the disturbance of mind is seen, but it is not experienced as me. Like that. So, Upashanta, five things are mentioned that has become Shanta. So, Jagat, Jivaha. Shishya, Acharya, and Ishvara. And all of these he called as a Brahmaha. So these are all the delusions. The Jagat, the world, and the Jiva, the individual. So this Jagat, which we saw as my as somewhere I interact, is no longer there. The Jagat remains, but I see now Jagat as me only. I am this entire creation. So when I see the television actor or the movie star acting in the movie, I pat myself on the back. And I tell myself, wow, what an acting I did. I don't feel any more inhibition that wish I could act like that person. I am the one acting because without me, this acting is not possible. Likewise, when I see that Warren Buffett has made so much money, I don't feel like wish I had that much money. I tell myself, look at how rich I am. I am rich, not because I have too much in my bank balance. I am rich because I have all the wealth. I have the wealth of my nature that nobody can steal from me. So this way, one forgets about the Jagat. There's no differences at all. Whatever differences the mind sees, I say it is all false. It is with the Jagat. Once the Jagat is gone, there's no differences there. And likewise, Jiva. I don't see the Jiva only. So in that way, what comes is Shishya Acharya relation also. There is no Shishya. The Guru who taught me is my nature only. And I, the Shishya, am no different than the Guru. This is only in knowledge. In Vyavahara, the Shishya has to behave like a Shishya. The Shishya cannot go and sit on the Guru's Acharya's head and say, I am your equal now. That cannot happen. Because that is Vyavahara. Vyavahara, you still have to act. And why you have to act in Vyavahara? Because that's what gives the beauty of Vyavahara. If certain dharma is not followed in Vyavahara, then it loses the integrity of that Vyavahara. Meaning, if Shishya goes and sits on the head of the Guru, then Shishya's ego is flying too high. And that ego makes you lose your understanding. That mind only will allow you to do that. So mind is going to again kick in the notion of duality. And it is so beautifully presented in Bhagavata, where Brahmaji, who is knower of what the creation is, he created everything. He knows, I am the creator, but the creation belongs to Satchidananda, whose amsha I have taken and I have created. And he forgets that. And he, when you know, Bhagavan takes the avatar as Shri Krishna, he thinks, who is the Shri Krishna? Everybody is praising the Shri Krishna. And he takes away the cows and all the gwalas. And in instance, when he turns back around and he says, all these gwalas and cows are there. And that instance is a time of 1 year. For 1 year on earth, all the gwalas and the cows were there. So in order to humble the pride of even Brahmaji, this Satchidananda takes an avatara and plays a magical card. So the point is, the beauty of Vyavahara is lost when its dharma is not found. If a son starts behaving like the father with the father, that beauty is lost. And likewise, if an employee starts behaving like an employer, the meaning is lost. So that's the point, is in Vyavahara, Vyavahara has to be the way it is. But in Paramartha, there is no fear at all. So even though Vyavahara is there is no fear of anything. So these are the Brahmam. These are the delusions which have become Upashanti. So that is the state of Jivan Mukti. Okay. And here we take a pause and we'll start with the idea again next week. So 27 again we will have to see.